Welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio. I appreciate everybody joining us this morning, or this afternoon. I appreciate everybody tuning in. We are back with the one and only Father John Gesualdo, and we're winding down our conversation of our series, rather, of nine contentious topics. This is part eight for those of you who've been keeping score at home. The other ones are available on our website under the schedule tab. And I apologize to all of you listening. I was made aware of the fact that I was a few weeks behind on my uploading of the podcast to the website. I have fixed that. And so mea culpa, mea culpa, mea
Man,
culpa. I know I'm slacking.
what is an appropriate penance
I
for
don't
not
know.
uploading? Man,
Yeah, because you're in high demand. I don't know if you knew this or not, but
not yet. No, I'm the one and only because no one else wants to be. I don't know. I'm gonna have to think of a good penance.
yeah. All right. Well, I'll give you the next 30 minutes to think about that, and
Okay.
we'll conclude today's episode with my penance. So,
Okay.
moving on to more important things, as again, we are on part eight of our series on nine contentious topics, and today we're going to get into the all male priesthood, what that means to us in general, and how our response should be when challenged with that supposition that because we get criticized. I'm sure all of you have heard this. We're all criticized that we hate women and we're trying to keep women down because we refuse to let them join the
Equality.
priesthood.
Equality. So what's
So,
the name of
Father,
this show? All male priesthood?
all
Oh.
male priesthood, yeah.
Tom, you know, this is one of the issues that are very, very close to my heart. I could talk probably hours on how this became a concern of mine, an issue of mine, even way back in 1993, 94. When I was living with some a religious congregation. But all that aside, why does the sacrament of holy orders reserved to males only? Okay, people who are listening. So first thing I would say to everyone is this is a settled issue. It is a settled issue. There is a strange book that came out promoting priesthood, women priesthood in quotations, called The Papal No. And it's actually not a bad read by Deborah Halter. She's no longer Catholic, but she used to teach at Loyola of New Orleans. And she actually documents the church's consistent papal, traditional, sacramental, biblical, historical, no. But also remember, this has nothing to do with equality. Men and women are equal. We are just not the same. We are not the same. And that is the essence of everything that's going wrong in our society, that somehow men and women are interchangeable. And this is part of the sexual revolution. And I would even say the push for women's ordination is part of the culture of death. That's right. I said it. So you this
All
call,
right.
what would Father say? That's what I would say. But first, let me say again, this is a settled issue. This came up as an issue back in the early 70s, I think, when, no, the mid 70s, when the Anglican Church, and this always seems to start with them, when the Anglican Church was considering ordaining women to the priesthood. Now, they didn't actually do so right away. The Episcopalians started doing it, Methodists started, Lutherans started doing it back in the 70s. But Pope Paul VI in 1977 issued what's called Inter In Signores on the question of admission of women to minister priesthood. He wrote a letter the congreg he wrote a letter to the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he said, "Hey man, this is going to threaten our unity. Don't do it. Don't do it." But he reiterated why, and all the way back in like I said 1977, this was the I guess one of the most profound, no, we cannot do this. This is, and there's theological reasons for that, biblical, historical, sacramental, even we say matters. But let me, I get beyond myself. But This is a settled issue. So in 1994, May of 94, there was still people who thought that one day the Catholic Church would start ordaining women. There's even a women's ordination conference in Washington, D.C., headed up by a bunch of ex-priests and crazy nuns, ex-nuns. And there was a sister out there named Sister Joan Chittister. She is still out there going on Oprah saying this can happen, and it cannot happen. So Pope John Paul II, 1994, finally put his foot down and gave us Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, Ordinatio on ordination to the sacerdotal priesthood. And he lays out again why this we have no authority whatsoever. He used the historical argument mostly that this is not the intention of the Lord. This was not the intention of Jesus. He ordained only men. But at the very, I guess, the very last two paragraphs of Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, I always can't never have trouble pronouncing it. John Paul II writes, here we go, ready? Quote, wherefore, in order that all doubt may be removed regarding a matter of great importance, a matter which pertains to the church's divine constitution itself, in virtue of my ministry of confirming the brethren, Luke 22, powerful, he's referencing scripture, I declare that the church has no authority whatsoever to confer priestly ordination on women, and that this judgment is to be definitely held by all the church's faithful, invoking the abundance of divine assistance upon you, venerable brothers, upon all the faithful, I impart my apostolic blessing. Wow. Boom. Again, it is done. Rome has spoken, and he's not making anything else. He's not making this up. He's not, oh, this is this an ex cathedra statement? No, this is just reiterating something the church has always said. No. But the more I studied into this, again, all of the church's teaching, like a seamless garment, came alive to the theology of the body. So let's start with history. We have been received, the priesthood is not something that's new to anybody, especially the Jews. To the Israelite people, they were a priestly people, a priestly people. And before that sin in the desert with the fatted, with the, not the fatted calf, with the golden calf, the Israelites were a priestly people, but the fathers in the house functioned as priests. So at the Passover, the father was supposed to sacrifice the lamb, was image the father as a spiritual father. But at that, the priesthood was established, the Levitical priesthood was established after that sin with the golden calf, and the Levites were set apart as a sacerdotal priesthood to offer sacrifice on the behalf of the people. Now, they had three levels in the Israelites. There was a high priest. There were priests, especially the of Aaron, the sons of Aaron, and there were Levites. Levites were like deacons. They served like they were supposed to take care of the altar, to serve the people and serve the priesthood. But none of them were women. None of them were women. Priests of the Old Testament, especially we can look at even Abraham. You could even say that Adam was a priest. He cultivated and protected Abraham and Isaac, and all of them offered sacrifice. Even Solomon and David and Solomon put on vestments to offer sacrifice. But by the time we get to Jesus, there is high priests, there are priests and Levites. All of them are men. Now, someone's going to say, well, that was the culture of the time. You know, you'll hear that. But the truth is, the Israelite and the Jewish people were surrounded by pagan and mysterious religions, and they all had priestesses. They stood out. But it really is Jesus again who founds his church on 12 men. He could have had women who were disciples. He had the Blessed Mother. No, but he gave it to men. And they were ordained as priests and bishops. The first apostles were bishops. They're supposed to be overseers, but they also offered sacrifice. Offered was they were commissioned to offer the mass and to forgive sins. So this is the will of the Lord. And anybody who says that Jesus was a captive to his own culture, which was sexist, be very careful, because you'd be very careful of accusing Jesus of the sin of sexism. That's what you're doing. And if that's what you're doing, shame on you. And we have to start speaking strongly about this. Anybody who thinks that women should be ordained, I say shame on you. You don't know your theology. You don't know your sacramental theology. You don't know your history. And to even do so, what you're doing, and this show is called What Would Father John Say?
That's right.
So this is what my take on it. Theologically, it is impossible. This matters. Because a priest is supposed to image the father. Women can't do that. Priest is supposed to stand in the place of the bridegroom. Women can't do that. And confect and beget the Eucharist. Women don't beget. Women give birth. And here we go. If you go to an Episcopal church, or even the Catholic Church of America, which was a schismatic group, there's all these schismatic groups. They all have women priests, and they have a woman priest standing in the place of the bridegroom, serving the bride. You have a lesbian church. That's right. I said it. It makes the church lesbian, and the church is not. The church is the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom. And also, let's keep going. To attempt to ordain, impose priestly orders on a woman would be an attack on her femininity. It'd be an attack on her femininity. It'd be like making her into a man. And that's comparable to the sin of sodomy. When a man does that to another man, he makes the other man a woman, takes away his dignity, steals his masculinity, and that man is giving up his masculinity. Yes, ordination of women is like sodomy. And also, it's like contraception. It's taking a beautiful act and twisting it. That's what contraception does. This is the marital act where I say I'm completely, husband says I completely give myself to my wife. No, it's not. It's holding back. It's saying not that I love you, but I'm going to use you to get my own gratification. So I think all these are together. They are sacraments from Satan. Abortion is the sacrament of Satan. And let's just talk honestly. Every female priest and quotations that you see, find me one that's not pro-abortion. Find me one. Find me one that's not pro-gay marriage, pro-contraception. Trent Horn makes this statement. He said they're all heretics. And so I know that's strong language, but somebody's got to start speaking that way, because that's just a fact. Go
I'm
ahead.
always kind of I was always kind of amazed by, really two things, I guess, that this whole argument of that you hear from the progressives or the feminists or whatever, that we need to have male priests or we need to have female
Female
priests.
priest.
It flies in the face of what the feminist movement was in the first place.
Yeah. It's not, it's, I don't even think, it's feminist movement from the first wave has always been demonic. I think it's always been demonic. But instead of champion femininity, they say for us to be, we have to be the same. We have to be just like men. We have to be pastors, overseers, episcopoi, presbyteros, which is, no, it's not. And that's why some of them are overweight. Got blue hair, shaved head, and have
700
LGBTQ
piercings.
flags behind them. It is the sacrament of Satan. It is the church. Oh my gosh, it's a it, and once you understand that opens up all these other contentious issues. All of a sudden, they're seen in their light. That is, it's another thread in the garment. Once you take that thread, you keep pulling the whole garment comes apart, and it reduces men to basically interchangeable. Isn't that what the feminists say about families? You don't need men. You can have two women or two men, and or th you know fatherhood isn't always an attack on fatherhood. You know, I are you sure we never talked about this? Maybe this was at some other, we never had this show.
No, about all male
Okay.
priesthood? No, no.
Okay, good. I'm glad, because I feel like maybe I just thought about this. There's a priest in a priestess in Round Rock. I won't say her last name because I don't know her last name. I remember I was calling there, because we had a patient at one of their hospitals, and she was the chaplain, and she answered the phone. "Hello, Father Amy." I dropped the phone. I couldn't believe it. And I actually met Father Amy. When I met her, she didn't call herself Amy. And sure enough, she was an ex-Catholic who was an ex-nun who wanted to be a priestess, and the Episcopal Church brought him in. It always seems to go back to the Episcopal Church, for these sort of things. And now she's calling herself. And one thing, you know, Reverend. Okay. You know, I have a very good friend who's a Baptist pastor, and it's a woman, it's a girl. It's a woman, I'm sorry. But she's not a priest. She's not, I'm not a priest. I'm not a priest. And I just lead this community. You know, I'm not ordained. They don't even believe in holy orders. They don't even believe in priesthood. I can understand that. You know, they have in Jewish and in a you know in Reform Judaism, they have women rabbis. That's not their tradition. But rabbi just means teacher. Just means teacher. But an ordained sacerdotal, holy orders, you know, being a priest of Jesus Christ, and that the fact that he was celibate and a man speaks to us. And that's the exact thing they hate. That's the exact thing they resent. And let's just speak plainly, there was a more than just a few priests. I heard them. That's what happened. 1994, I was living in a religious congregation, and the head of the congregation was like, "Well, yeah, I think we should have priests." And I didn't have the wherewithal to say, I don't think that it's amazing, because that was in May and June of 1994, right when Ordinatio Sacerdotalis came out. And then we met a bunch of women congregations. They were all infected with liberation theology, with feminist theology. They were just absolutely infected with it, and so it just leads to more infection. Next thing you know, they become in favor of contraception. They become in favor of gay marriage. They
Dominoes.
become in, and then you can't even get them to say, "Is fornication a sin? Is fornication a sin?" And then they're always in favor of in vitro fertilization,
Everything
you know.
else.
And they just laugh at celibacy. They all, "Oh, that's just a medieval invention to keep you guys from having kids with it." Oh my gosh, it's just a seamless garment. And don't think, Tom, for one second that the seminary I went to was immune from this either. Now they're much better now, but you know, this is what will Father John say. I have to give my own, you know, experience here. So yeah, I developed the even way back when, this has always seemed, and I think what John Paul II was saying, why are we still talking about this? This is a settled issue. This is a settled issue. And any priest or catechist that has someone says why women can't be priests better be able to answer it. You know, if I could share one more thing.
Yeah, please.
When I was a priest at St. Helens in Georgetown, and when I was at St. Dominic Savio, we were hiring theology teachers. And I would just throw this out there. This would be my litmus test. Hey, one of our kids says, "Well, why can't women be priests?" How would you answer? And just to see them fumble and stumble. So thank you. You can leave now. You can, you know, my brother is, well, that's a different issue. My brother is living with a same-sex partner. Is that a sin? How would you answer that? And see them fumble and stumble, people who have gotten degrees at Catholic universities. But I guess we go back to, you know, there's a great book out there I would recommend, and I don't even think it's put out by iSunday Visitor. And a guy wrote a book. I got it right here. It's by David P. Lang. It's called Why Matter Matters. Why Matter Matters. And why do we use, you know, bread and wine and not donuts and pizza and grape juice? Why olive oil? Why male priests? Why male and female spouses? Because matter matters. And I think to your listeners, to tell them, hey guys, this is everything that we're challenged by now. Why, a young boy who's struggling with his sexuality, but his very body testifies that he's a boy and made for a girl, and his body testifies to that. Well, that doesn't matter to them, that his very, his cells and everything in him, it's how he feels. It's how he feels. I say,
I'm
no,
always,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I'm always amazed by, and you referenced John Paul II, but even Francis had to tackle this. And I'm always amazed at the number of popes that have to continue to say no, and the
No.
public keeps asking, and the number of popes that, I mean, you could line them up. It's almost like every single pope has had to deal with this in one way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, and like if any father, like any father, you're like, I thought we dealt with this because on the lower ends, because we believe in subsidiarity, popes and priests and bishops are not supposed to be teaching catechism classes. Sadly, many leftist radical nuns and priests and lay people and people, social justice warriors, those are the ones who are teaching our children. And they're not being called out for it. They're not being called out for it. And so, yeah, you have to go, and that's real easy, but they, I'd walk into, we need to walk into seminaries, or walk into the, go walk into Catholic universities, get the entire theology department together. Who here disagrees with the church's teaching on this? Stand up. And those who stand up say, get out. You're fired. No. They won't do that. They won't do that. Get out. Go into any seminary. Meet with the faculty and staff. Who here is in line with the church and who is not? If you're not, get out now. But that takes a certain amount of courage and willing to sacrifice.
It's hard to do.
We may have to do it ourselves. And so,
So in our we got just we just got like
all
four
right.
minutes here left in this episode. And so in lay terms, how should we, as pew sitting Catholics, respond to this challenge? Give us
Well, for
some words.
when I meet a lay person or someone who's maybe thinking of becoming Catholic, or maybe he's been away from the church for a while, why can't women be priests? We have to do a little catechesis about the theology of the body, the history, justice, sameness. We have to, have to parcel that out. We are equal, but we are not the same. And when we especially know our theology of the body. You got to know your theology of the body, or you're going to be crippled. So that's how you approach it to a regular person. By the same token, if you run into a priest or deacon or a nun who thinks women should be ordained, we should just respond with shame on you. Shame on you. You should know better. I shouldn't have to catechize you. How did you make it through? And the Episcopal Church would love to have you. Now, people don't like it when I talk like this, but this show is called What Would Father John Say? So this is not the official response, but just like with Pope Paul VI writing the Archbishop of Canterbury, hey man, don't do this. Shame on you. You should know better. Yeah, then call each other out. I mean, we don't have to have this fight with the Orthodox Church. The Orthodox, they're like, you guys are silly. At least we know this. So we don't have that. But it's with Lutherans and Episcopalians, and but it's always framed with emotion. Well, if a woman comes forward and says she feels like God is calling to the priesthood, we'll tell her no, he's not. Same thing if a woman comes forward and says, God is calling me to jack off my breasts and sterilize me so I can become. No, he's not. He's not. That's Satan who's telling you. That's the devil or your own selfishness who's tempting you to do that. That's what I would say. So,
I
the other
think we
priest.
also have, we also have to, like with every one of these topics,
Yeah.
we have to approach them. Our response has to be grounded in love and compassion.
Yeah.
And
And love, and just like Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers," every once in a while we have to say that. But he was loving them. But to the regular person in the pew, we have to catechize them. We have to evangelize them. Because somewhere in there, they know, even with this transgender thing, somewhere in there, you know, that's wrong. You know that's wrong. And we always point back to Jesus. This was his intention. The priesthood has always been this. Peter Kreef wrote a book that is no longer in print. It's called "Why Only Boys Can Be Daddies." He wrote a book, him and I don't have the book here with me, it's out of print. But he wrote a beautiful little book from Franciscan Press, which is no longer up and running, where he answers it, he answers it very systematically, that we know that only boys can be daddies. Only boys can be fathers. And a woman cannot be a father, and she knows that. And to say that for her to have equality, she has to be a priest like a man, that's an insult to every mother and woman out there. That's the irony of the feminist movement. They're anti-feminine. They're anti-motherhood, and they won't admit it, but they are. And so we have to start just talking plainly. And if talking plainly gets us into trouble, and it's gotten me into trouble a few times,
So
I got
many.
a whole folder here of complaints of just not being kind. What would Jesus say? What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say?
All right,
Avoid the
Father,
sin.
we're gonna have to leave it there,
You could
as we're
tell I
running.
have a lot of feelings about this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's too bad you're not more passionate about some of
I
these
know, I know.
topics
I got
that
to
we're
work on that.
folks, we're gonna sign off for this week. Next week we are going to conclude our series of our nine contentious topics with another that I'm sure is going to ruffle some feathers, and that's the death penalty. And
Ooh,
there's a lot of
tough one, yeah.
back and forth and some misguided opinions, and I'm using that word correctly. And we're going to tackle all of that next week right here on What Would Father Say? Father, would you please leave us with your blessing?
And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, thanks, folks. We'll see you next week. And remember, put on the armor of God.